This is Plus Money Golf on the Patriot Sports Network. A golf betting podcast that's
better than most.
What he said.
How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
And now, here are your hosts, Adam, Smitty, and Eric.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Plus Money Golf and the Fantasy Sports Corp Network, where all we do is win some more. We're live tonight on all formats. No Eric again, but we've got Chris, who's doing a better job than Eric.
Yeah.
Once again, another dominant win by Scotty. It's like the guy just has no flaws. Hits a bad shot, chips in, makes par. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say it's boring to watch, because it's like, it's almost like we're seeing a truly dominant player. We haven't seen anybody truly dominant since Tiger's 2000 season. It's just, it's pretty unreal. Everyone's literally playing for second when he's in the field.
Yeah, and it almost feels like everybody is legitimately thinking that and knows that too. You know, I saw an interview with Tony Romo. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And he was just like, you know, I don't remember the last time that he like had an off day, right? Like where he'll shoot 70 or 71. Yeah. Like that's an off day for him, you know, type thing.
He shot like 500 rounds under par at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, when he makes a bad shot, the very next shot is a great shot every single time. Like he just understands exactly what happens and he makes the adjustment and he's back to normal, you know? And the best part of it is what Tony Romo said at the end. And I think a lot of people are really starting to understand now is that, and you've said this before on a show, when Scotty is putting well, he's untouchable.
Yeah. There's no flaws in his game. Putting was the flaw.
Right. And if he is, and then he even said, he's like, and even if he's struggling here and there, but it's still all right with the putter, he's still in the mix.
Yeah.
And when Scotty's in the mix, it's getting to that point now where if someone is, you know, maybe ahead by stroke or two against him, and we saw it this last weekend even, right, that they get nervous and they fold. Colin Morikawa style.
It's just like watching Tiger play. I mean, it literally is. Everybody just sees him come up the board and it's like, oh shit. And every time, you know, you think, oh, he's like two back, and then you turn away and next thing you know, he's like tied for the lead. Like I kind of thought he had no chance this week. And then all of a sudden he's like on the board by two. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. He was in cruise control. It felt like there for a while. Right. And he's just like, all right, you know, I'm cool. Just chilling, hanging out. But then all of a sudden I feel there was something that clicked where he just told himself, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
I might as well just go win this damn thing because no one else wants it.
He's like number one in every category. And then he said he showed up on Wednesday, got there before the practice round, played nine holes in the pro-am, and then teed it up.
Yeah. The only thing that he wasn't number one in pretty much for the field was putting, right? I think that's the only thing he wasn't number one in the field. And he was still upper half in that. So when you do everything else as the best golfer in the field and you can at least be an average putter, look at that. You won by four strokes.
Yeah, they were saying like they've been interviewing all kinds of people now, but they interviewed a guy that had played with him in like a Korn Ferry event when he was coming up, and he was like, isn't this guy supposed to be good or something? Like, I guess he had like an unimpressive round, and next thing you know, like he's just like clicking off wins. So and then the Tony Finau video comes around again this week where it's like first time he played with him, he's like, he thought Scotty was like six or seven under. I think it was the first one. It was at Northern Trust. And he's asked his caddy, he's like, hey, is this guy like six or seven under? He goes, no, he's 11 under. And he shot like 59.
Yeah, like, because
he's just not impressive.
Well,
it's just clean golf.
He's almost, yeah, it's clean golf. He's almost boring, right? Like there's not a whole lot of entertainment value outside of, oh, geez, he just got another. It's just birdie, par.
It's like eagle. When Tiger was dominating, he would have like some crazy ass shot from like off his knees or in the trees or he plays like tee to green, just the most boring golf. It's like what everybody wants to play, but they don't know how. And it's
the
like,
most entertaining thing for Scotty is probably just watching his feet when he swings.
He said the only thing that's addictive to him now is just hitting out close to the hole. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, clearly doesn't have a problem with that. It's just unreal. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this in a long time where guys just click off wins. He's like the second fastest player to 10 wins at through 50, like 50 events. David Duval was the only one at 33 events that was quicker to 10, which is pretty crazy to think.
Yeah, that's
who played 33 events and won 10 times.
Yeah, you're clicking at a 33% win rate, like in golf. That's pretty impressive.
59, I think. And then everyone else was like 65, 70 plus. It's golf. And I'm sure it might slow down a little bit as he's going away. But when you're a guy like him, that's not like working on swing issues or trying to change a swing or switching equipment. Like 94% of these players are. He said, mm-hmm. I can change and I do my practice. And if it's an hour, if it's an hour and a half, it's 30 minutes, whatever. It's just whatever it is. I mean, if you go to the range and you hit 30 shots and they're all pure, it's like, okay, well, I'm pretty much done for the day. There's no reason to do that.
Right. You know, so Game On said, you know, heard a crazy stat today that Scotty just has to remain at number one until 2035 from the past Tiger's run. So I understand like that, all that stuff is constantly out, yeah. Right? And people are constantly talking about that. I try to steer away from that just for the simple fact that it completely downplays what Scotty's doing to the golf world right now.
Yeah.
He's crushing everybody and we need to give him his props where it's due, not try to compare him to the number one best golfer of all time, right? Like what Tiger did is amazing. It's untouchable. Like we understand that, but it's like, we're not trying to compare Scotty to Tiger right now. I think that's completely unfair. Scotty to everybody else playing golf in the world right now is unfair.
I think the best thing for Scotty is not on social media. He said he doesn't read the, you know, watch, you know, anything about him. He doesn't read the papers a lot. He just goes about his business and like, he doesn't let all the outside noise get to him. And I mean, it's a lot of the same way on the LPGA where Nelly Korda goes five in a row. And now they're comparing her to Annika Sorenstam, yep. Who went, you know, five in a row, four in a row and then right. A major, same thing she did. And
they're even trying to compare the two, Scotty and her, right? Like, I'm like, come on,
just golf.
It's great for golf.
What they're doing is they're using it to draw attention to the LPGA, which what she's doing is pretty much unbelievable for someone whose career was almost ended with an injury to come out and nobody's even close to beating her.
But my riff with social media and just the media in general is the fact that why do we always have to compare?
Yeah.
Just fucking let people be good.
Yeah, it's different. Same thing with basketball, baseball.
I know, football. But it's different eras. I hate it. It's dumb.
It's just you want to have something to scale. People want to have some way to scale it. But yeah, it's pretty hard because what Scotty's doing is the fields are way deeper than they were in 2000.
Yeah.
There was four dominant players. Now we're just seeing one dominant player. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tiger had to deal with Phil, David Duval, Vijay, and various other players where Scotty's dealing with nobody. Like yeah. Wyndham Clark's been the only one to really, I would say, get close to giving him any competition.
And even that's, you know,
and he's run out. Yeah.
Right. Scotty's proven to have a little bit more stamina than everybody else. That's for sure. Cause like you said, yeah, Wyndham challenging there for a little bit, but at the same time, like he's kind of dwindled out and fizzled out here a little bit. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Cool thing is when you have one dominant player, everybody else is searching. So now you have that advantage because you don't have to work on nothing and they have to work on everything. And I mean, we haven't had anything like, I think the reason is we haven't had anybody click off wins like this since Tiger.
Yep.
Not Rory, not Spieth, kind of a little bit when he went on that, you know, almost career Grand Slam run where he won pretty much anything he entered. But
yeah, that was something that I
wasn't like, so dominating though. It wasn't, you know, Spieth was winning by playoff victories, you know, playoff at John Deere, playoff at the next week, playoff, you know, he right, wasn't winning by five
with it right
or coming from three back and winning by five.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, how did you do this weekend? No one cares how I did.
Yeah, it was a rough week. I mean, I did mention we should take Scotty, but put two to 10 units on it. So
for sure.
That's another win, but I mean, Clark third place, the Gala second, Poston fifth, which we said Poston was going to be coming on, and he came out first round on fire.
I should have been more confident with it. Me only having him at plus 175 in a top 20. I don't know what I was thinking, like not putting him in my top 10. And I knew that I was with Batia. I knew I was kind of flirting with 18th. Fatigue there a little bit. Yeah. But I mean,
on a premier event, that's pretty solid for a guy who's just been on a career run the last few weeks.
I wish I would have went with my gut and pounded Poston a little bit harder there in my picks, but it's just couldn't go there. And you know, some guys just fallen outside of the top 20, like Denny McCarthy finishing 30th, and you know,
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Like it's just kind of, it's tough there. You got like Russell Henley finishing 15th, like had him in the top 20, but
we got to get on the Lowry train.
As soon as I get off it, you know what's going to happen. So that means this weekend, since you know, him and Rory are going to.
Max Homa surprisingly 55th. Just fatigue, maybe.
Is that the human factor there? Like where he shows that he's just not where.
Haberg had a 10th place, and he's played as much as Batia. I mean, every week the guy's playing. I thought Haberg played pretty well too all week. You know, he just kind of didn't make enough putt. I mean, didn't make any birdies.
Spieth is a fucking stud. I don't know what you're talking about. He's going to win a ton more meaningful events.
I feel like he's done.
No way.
Like, honestly.
No way.
He.
What is he right now? 31? Is that right?
Yeah, but I mean, he won so much so early, and now it's just like he's trying to do too much. I feel like he's trying to get more length, which, you know, you focus on that. Now he's lost his kind of his iron play. His short game's still good, but his putting is nothing like it was when he came out. I mean, it's not even close. I don't know. I feel like I'm at a loss with that guy. He's just phoning it in.
I do feel like that, you know, I do feel like he's trying to change his game a little bit, right? Because I feel like he's trying to be more of an off the tee kind of guy. Is it? Don't you feel that way? He's
trying to pick up distance, which you don't need, which
he doesn't need.
Brings me to my point. So we all know, like all the young guys are super long. So we have this high school kid, 15 years old, playing in the Korn Ferry Tour last week.
Yep.
Finishes top 25. 14 years old, gets an exemption into Bermuda in November, the PGA Tour event, because they're giving, it's, I think Camilo Villegas runs that event for his foundation, giving an exemption to the number one player, AJGA, for the previous year. So, because that person could be turned pro, they could be in college, whatever.
Yeah.
This kid's like Scotty Scheffler of the AJGA. I mean, he won the junior players. He won this junior PGA by 7 shots. He's the number one player in junior golf at 15 years old. Sponsored by TaylorMade. Shoots, 64 or something, third round? I mean, top 25 for 15 years old. Hits his driver 280 off the tee. His driving distance is 280. So you don't need to get it out there. I mean, but I watched a few highlights and a few of the holes. The kid has an amazing short game. I mean, it's very Spieth and Scheffler like, where he just gets up and down from everywhere. I think, you know, it's lost with players. Like, everybody wants to hit it far, but if you have a short game, you don't got to hit it far.
And that's what Jordan needs to get back to, right? And understanding how good a short game is and can be, and just get there, right? Give yourself manageable approach shots, get there and go to work. And even if he knows that if he has a manageable approach shot, that even if he can be more aggressive, because he knows that around the greens, whether he's in the sand or just off, that he's going to pull something beautiful off.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff before that where he's, you know, having to hit the ball backwards and having to hit the ball off of roofs and all this stuff. It's like, dude, like, just knock that off and get back to what made you great.
Fairways and greens.
Right. That's.
He's never been a great driver of the ball ever. His short game saved him. And I think he just needs to back it down, like with the distance, and worry more about accuracy. Yeah. This high school kid's name is Miles Russell.
Yep.
He's going to be a future star. I mean, I'm sure this kid's been signed to a college since he was 10 years old.
Well, yeah, you're doing that at age 15, man.
I don't know what college he's going to. Usually,
well, he just started high school.
I know, but they do commits now.
I know. I'm just saying it's wild to think about that. You know, like dude's playing on the Corn Ferry.
Like Texas, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Florida State. They've got their team stacked up for the next 8 years. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, it is.
And
the world has changed in that regard for sure.
I had said to my wife, I was like, you know, if that's my kid and he's 15 years old and he's the best player in the world and finishes top 25 in the Corn Ferry, let's say he gets a few more exemptions. Let's say he gets in a deer or he plays in Bermuda and he gets top five or he wins.
Yeah.
What's your decision when you turn 18? I mean, if he got a few more exemptions in the Corn Ferry and he accumulated enough points, he could technically get his PGA Tour card at 15, but he can't play till he's 18. Cause
Do you think that ever changes?
I don't think so.
No, why not?
I think because just the travel and like the maturity level you need to have to be able to go to these cities and like, you know, entertain the customers and.
Cause golf is different than other sports.
It is, but we've seen it before where kids were superstars that age and they didn't let him come out. Like Batia wanted to come out, I think, when he was 17 and they made him wait. But the one kid that actually did get his tour card in the fall, and I think he's at Vanderbilt, he's not accepting the card until he plays his senior year, which is next year. So he accumulated enough points with sponsors exemptions to get his PGA Tour card and he's waiting. So, but yeah, I could see this kid doing the same thing.
So are you saying that you can earn your PGA Tour card before you're 18 and then you can kind of just be like, here, let me hang this on the wall and wait for it. Once I turn 18, I can grab it and we're good then.
And the same with like this kid that's in college that earned his tour card through the fall events. He had like 6 or 8 exemptions. Made enough points to move up, and he wants to finish out college. I mean, obviously Vanderbilt has one of the best golf teams in the country. I think they won the national championship last year. And so, yeah, it's be interesting to see what some of these young kids do, but it's just going to get younger and younger and the field's getting better and better.
Yeah, for sure.
At least we're seeing the younger stars like Batia and Aberg. You know,
they're actually starting to make, they're making some money.
Yeah. People are coming to see these guys
for sure.
People are coming to see these guys. They're not coming to see, you know, sadly, they're not coming to see Jordan Spieth. They're not coming to see Tiger.
No one gives a shit anymore about Justin Thomas. Yeah,
Dunlap and, you know, some of these guys that are just new names.
What's going on with Dunlap? Like just struggling, finishing last
fatigue, man.
Do you think that it's the shell shock of being on tour and having to really start understanding what it means to grind it out as a professional? Yeah.
It's a lot different than college golf, man. I mean, you're only really having to play a few days a week, and I don't know. I think next week starts the conference championship, so we'll kind of see who the next stars are going to be coming out because they have the PGA Tour graduation, so... where you're going to get a guy like Dunlap or Aberg that get their card, basically come out and see what they can do.
Well, should we jump into this week?
Yeah. It's an interesting event.
Yep.
It's kind of a nice relax after the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I would say it's perfect timing for an event like this, to have a team event, a partner event, right?
I wish they would make this a combo event with the LPGA.
That would be cool.
But I think, you know, like if you win this event, you can gain your tour status.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an exemption into the majors, but you can't, it counts as a win.
Right. Like you're still getting awarded FedEx Cup points.
Yep. And you're still getting your 2-year exemption.
Yep. Yeah. So those of you, you know, that are listening and want to know a little bit about this week, right? So it's a team event, right? Where they are two of the rounds, they're doing alternate shot. And then two of the rounds, they're essentially playing best ball, correct? And I'm trying to see which rounds are which. They alternate rounds. The first round is.
I know the last
first round. And third.
Yeah.
First and third rounds will be four ball. And the second and final rounds will be foursomes. So they go alternate shot, first and third, and then best ball, second and fourth. That'll be really fun.
Yeah. It's a bird fest.
Yeah. Top 33. So it'd be the low 33 teams and ties at the 33rd position.
Yeah. Cause they're having to play in foursomes, which is going to take fucking forever.
It's
going to
take forever for sure. It's and if let's see, I'm just reading through here. If
you can pick anybody, if you're stat, I believe if you're a PGA Tour member, you can pick anybody.
Well, that's why
as long as they're professional.
That's why Matt Fitzpatrick takes his brother, right?
Yeah, which his brother beat him in the Open Championship last year. His brother's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw like Nicholas Horgaard's playing with his brother Rasmus. There's twin brother Rasmus, which he's killing it on the DP Tour. And then there was some interesting groupings, like where you had a lot of tour guys playing with college buddies that are on the Korn Ferry,
mm-hmm. which is a cool dynamic. Yeah, like I said, you know, it's a fun week because you just had the Masters and then you had an Elevated event. And so now guys are like, all right, so let's pump the brakes. Let's still make it meaningful. It still counts as a win if I win. Still get some FedEx Cup points and everything. He's like, but it's going to be way more relaxed. You're going to see guys smiling out there. You're going to get, you know, outside of guys like Schauffele and Cantlay, who are just going to be like stone cold face the whole time, right? It's just
this will be a good event for the if they have Smiley on Thursday or Friday with the, you know, cart pulled up to the par three, just chatting with players, because you're going to probably see a lot of trash talk in this event, player on player, teammate on teammate trash talk.
Yeah. Guys are going to be much more willing to talk this weekend. I feel like it's going to be have like, not quite like the Phoenix Open, but you know, towards that, I guess.
Yeah. It'll be good. It's a good event. I mean, it's not a well watched event because it's just kind of the formatting, but I like it because it shows maybe you get a guy like maybe two guys make the Ryder Cup team that have played in this and played well and force them well. Now, if you know that's who you want to play, I think that's how Schauffele and Cantlay always get stuck together in the Ryder Cup because
they play so well in this.
Play so well in this together in four balls.
Yeah, I agree. So we're at TPC Louisiana, 70, just over 7,400 yards, par 72 this weekend. Looking at some things here, fourth most bunkers. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of bunkers in play. 13th most water danger holes. So we're talking bunkers, lots of trouble, right?
Yeah.
But Bermuda fairways, POA greens. You're looking at green speeds at around 12, pretty small greens.
Yeah.
You know, but traditionally, like you said, birdie fest, right? There's going to be lots of scoring going on, which is pretty fun. But also a lot of trouble guys are going to have to hit out of, especially like I'm interested to see when they're playing, well, both alternate shot and best ball though, like, because best ball, they're going to be looking at each other like, all right, how's he doing over there? Oh, he's struggling. Okay, I got to play this. I got to play this safe. Or, oh, he's okay there. Well, I can get aggressive then right now.
Yeah, guys play way more aggressive than the four ball because it's like, I mean, two tour players, you're not really worried about. It's not like you're playing with your buddy that's a 12 handicap. And, you know,
the alternate shot is very strategic and interesting though, because they have to figure out, I mean, they're going to crunch numbers. They're, you know, between, you know, each team and what they're going to do and who's going to be teeing off on the odd holes, who's going to be teeing off on the even holes. You can look at guys like, for instance, like you look at McIlroy and Lowry, right? Well, you're going to want McIlroy teeing off on those par fives. And then you got a guy like Lowry, who's really good on those like mid par fours and everything. So they're definitely going to be looking at, I'm thinking what it's going to be the is it the odd holes? No, it'd be the even holes then that
this could be a
it's kind of a crapshoot there.
I was just looking at the course map that they provide to all the people when you come in, and it's like there's literally a bar like every three holes. It's like the Jameson Lounge, the Tito's 19th, the Ultra Hole, the Screwball Whiskey, the Tito's Stillhouse, the
like
a bourbon one. I mean, it's like, well, I mean, we are in New Orleans, so, but
I was just
going to
say,
it's be not
you're party like, central.
Could have some rowdy crowds.
Yeah, you're just looking for, I mean, you're really looking for two guys who complement one another the most, right?
Yeah.
It's what you're really looking for. And you're looking, and honestly, I think history plays a big part, maybe even a bigger part in this weekend's event than in just regular events, to where, you know, even if it's like, all right, this one guy's got a different partner, but look at his track record here and how he plays with people. Cause I think that goes a long ways with like, all right, this guy is traditionally does well, even if it's with different partners here and there, like a guy like Billy Horschel.
Yeah. Who just won last week on the opposite field event by three. Yep. He wasn't in the final group. It was like three groups back. Shot what, 62 or 63 final round.
Yeah, I think it was.
He's playing with Tyson Alexander, who I think he's a WEP guy or a Corn Ferry guy. Sorry. So he must have saw something in this guy, because his normal partner Sam Burns is having his baby this week, so he couldn't play with him. So,
well, and Billy Horschel won this event in 2018 with Scott Piercy of all people. So.
There's some interesting groups. Interesting. So there was a bunch of that stood out to me of guys who live next to each other, are brothers. Lots of brother groups this week.
That's fun.
At least three brother groups, which is cool. That's fun. You can feed off of each other, and you know how the other person plays, because you probably played 100,000 more rounds with that guy than you have anybody else.
So Tyson Alexander. He has played in 11 events this year already.
Must be a Florida guy. Like he went to Florida.
Yes, he did go to Florida.
There you go. That's connection.
He's from Gainesville and went to Florida. He's 35 years old. That would be roughly around as Billy. Yeah.
They must have went to
school together, but he played in the Punta Cana last week. Finished 55th. He played in the Valero. He was T14. I don't even remember seeing him on the board.
That's because there was too many stars at the top of the board.
Yeah, he made the cut at the Phoenix Open, Farmers Insurance.
Maybe he's a long ball hitter.
Let's look at his stats once. Let's check him out. Let's see what he's got. Let's see. Wow, they're going to be very good putting and approaching. He's 68th in strokes gained total. So, I mean, he's driving distance. He's 64th.
Morikawa was playing with Kurt Kitayama, who is probably one of the best putters on tour.
Yeah. Maybe he can help Morikawa finish a little bit.
Fuck. I'm done with him. I'm done with Xander. Like, don't even mention their names. Spieth, Lowry. Yeah. They got to show me something.
I know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, some of these guys, but
Max Homa is going to need to show me some unfatigued rounds before I even think about picking him again.
Yeah, he's going to have to show a little bit of consistency. I mean, it's been good to see now two straight majors that he's played well, but at the same time, you want to be considered as one of the top players in the world. You can't just take weekends off. You can't finish 50th. You just can't do that. But a lot of those guys you just mentioned, that's what they do. That's what they're doing lately. And it's frustrating. It's hard as a golf better to figure out that stuff. And you're almost better off going and looking at this new young talent and seeing you know, all right, when are they going to do their thing here and finish in the top 10 and probably hit it with some good numbers.
Your game on says he has ice cream to buy for five kids this Sunday. So he needs some lock picks. I got a few lock picks.
Well, whatever I pick, go the other way. That seems to be the bet of choice, I think, for most people as of right now.
There was a few.
I'm like Jordan Spieth right now. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to win again. So
what's bound to happen. You usually fill in that mid section of the year whenever I struggle. Once I get busy playing, I kind of don't get to watch as much as I do right now. So there was a few groups that stood out to me, like the Toasty Potter, Ted Potter and Toasty.
Okay.
The Stricker Kucher. That's an interesting group. The Goderup Ekrop group and the,
I knew you were going to say something about that group, by the
dude,
way.
Dude, Austin Ekrop, he's been showing some signs and Goderup is crazy long off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kevin Tway, Kelly Kraft, Kevin Tway has slowly been, I mean, I think he was first round leader last week at Punta Cana. He's been showing some signs of top five, top 10. So I think you get these guys where, you know, it's a short drive from Oklahoma City down to New Orleans. You get a lot of the, and you know, they're probably all staying together. Could be too much partying, but Kevin Tway's been playing really well this year. I mean, he's been playing good his whole career. He's never had to go back to the Corn Ferry, which is amazing.
Never too much partying.
No. Can be when you're on tour playing every week, but we are in New Orleans, so
it's true.
You want to get into some picks here?
Sure. We can do that. You know, I can start it off with my top 20. I have Damon and Mitchell at almost even money, but a little plus money action, plus 110. I think Keith Mitchell's been playing really well, and first thing I thought of being a funner event and a team event was Joel Damon and his following and people wanting to see him and how fun he is on the course and everything. I'm hoping that propels them. Like I said, Keith Mitchell's been playing really well this year and hopefully they can jump in the top 20 there. I do have Tyson Alexander and Billy Horschel at plus 125 finish top 20. Billy Ho is hot and he's kind of doing his thing, coming off a dub, and you know, that commonality there with a teammate from college, you know, or a guy from his home from his home base there in Florida a little bit, you know, like I think that could maybe help them get to a top 20 action there. I have Naismith and Moore at plus 140. These guys have been T4 back to back years. So they've been in the top five last 2 years with each other. I think they feel pretty confident with one another going into
this. Sounds like a lock bet.
I did go with the defending champions of Davis Riley and Nick Hardy. I would steer away from looking at their results from this year so far because they're not playing very good golf, but I have a feeling they're going to play much better than they have individually so far this season.
I mean, it's a one-off event. It's kind of throw it out. Like,
yeah,
saw what JT did in the Ryder Cup, and he hasn't done anything before or since then.
And then I have, I'm sorry, hold on a second. I have, what is it? Oh yeah, so I have Hoey and Su at plus 240. So with these guys, I'm hoping that they complement one each other. Rico Hoey and Justin Suh at plus 240.
It's Rico Hoey.
He's a guy that seems to be pretty solid off the tee and solid around greens. And then Suh, his strong point has always been his putting. And, you know, if those guys can kind of get things going a little bit together, then I'm hoping that they can pop into the top 20 there. So Rico, you want to know a little bit about Rico? Let's see. He has played this year in 10 events. He finished 33rd last week at the Punta Cana. He was T14 at the Valero, T54 Valspar, Puerto Rico is 32nd, but like you look at his stuff here with his statistics, like I said, he is 9th in strokes gained off the tee. He's 44th in approach to green. Putting seems to be a really bad part of his game. But that's where Suh kind of comes into place here. And I think that, you know, total driving, he's 52nd, and driving distance, he's 23rd. So I kind of like that mix of guy who can hit it off the tee to a guy who can kind of get himself around the greens. All right. So that's kind of, I needed a fifth guy and I wanted somebody at least plus 200 or more there. So that's kind of why I went that way.
Right on. So I have, let's see. Get the guy's name. Oh, Russ Cochran and Eric Cole at 750. Eric Cole's a gamer. I mean, get him in these weird formats where he doesn't have to worry too much some of these rounds. Toasty and Potter at 500. Johnny Vegas and Bronson Ragoon at 360. Because Johnny Vegas is still long.
He is.
And he seems to do well in these funky events sometimes. That I had Sloan and Teeter at 450.
First round leader with Johnny Vegas and his partner. Ooh, maybe.
Yeah. And then my last one was Kevin Tway and Kelly Kraft, 450. I mean, those two guys can get it around.
For sure.
I think top 20 should be pretty easy for them, and 450 seem like pretty easy money. That's about the safest bets I have on my list, really. I have been hitting more of those top 10s lately, so the top 20s are the ones I struggle with. You usually hit more 20s than I do, but.
Yeah, but you're more of a long shot guy in the 20s and I'm not. So that's kind of why I would say that's not really. We're completely different when it comes to our top 20 picks.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the most money I can out of those guys.
For sure. Right now, I'm trying to just get any money. So that's why I'm
hit some money on the board.
Sticking around there. If I could hit three of these guys this weekend, would be really nice. Top 10s for me, I go right into Tom Hoagie and Mav McNeely. These are two guys that Adam loves, so he's got to like that I picked.
That's a good pick.
I have them at plus 210 for a top 10.
Mav McNeely's been playing better. Same with Patrick Rogers, too. They both kind of been showing signs.
Yeah, you know, so when it comes to Hoagie, right, he tied for 18th last week at the Heritage, you know, but he would have been higher. He had that quintuple bogey nine on the par 4 18th. So like that sucks. He tied for 14th at the Texas Children's Houston Open at the end of March. And then, you know, McNeely, in his 10 starts this season, he's made 9 cuts and has finished inside the top 15 3 times in his last 6. So I think that they're a really nice combination here. And I'm excited for that. Then I have Taylor and Hadwin, who at plus 225, were the runners up last year. I felt like 225 was a solid number. And I think that they're two really solid players, and man, there's no reason why they shouldn't be in the top 10 again. I kept rolling with Damon and Mitchell at plus 280. As well as Naismith and Moore at plus 360. I loved that plus 360 number with those guys. Naismith and Moore back to back T4s are giving me plus 360 top 10. Let's go. I'll take that. And then I rounded it out with Tyson Alexander and Billy Horschel at plus 320. If you don't like that, I did have as a runner up where you could swap one of those guys out, one of those teams out, if you didn't like them, Alexander and Horschel at Fitz and Fitz at plus, what were they? 230.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not my official pick, but I mean, if they were my sixth on the list were the Fitzpatrick brothers.
They're going to be tough. So yeah, I had top tens. I had Stricker and Kuchar at 1,000. Stricker owns the senior tour. I mean, he wins all over the country, and Kuchar is just pretty straight, good short game. He's going to keep Stricker. I mean, he's pretty much going to hit it where Stricker wants it, and Stricker's going to hit it where Cooch wants it. So,
yeah,
the two experienced guys there, good buddies. It's a lock for a top 10. Then
you heard it here, man. That's a lock.
It's a lock. The only reason they might not be a lock is if they get out birdied by the young guns and don't make the cut or something. If it's like it's crazy deep scoring. My second one was the Cootie Bros, Parker and Pearson at 600. Brothers playing together. They're going to do something. They know how each other plays. They've both actually been playing pretty well this season.
Shout out to my son's name, Pearson.
Yep.
Except Pearson Cootie spells it really weird.
Yeah, he's from Texas. and then I had Cochran Eric Cole at 2,500 for a top 10. I thought that seems awfully good stats for them. Then I went with the Goddard up and Eckrode at 300, which, I mean, clearly they see the same thing I see. They're both trending up. And then
it's crazy that they're 300 and Naismith and Moore are 360. That's why I was like, this was a no-brainer for me to take those two guys at top 10. I mean, because
I know they both lit. They both play a lot together because they both play out of Edmond. They both play at Oaktree with Tway. And I think Kelly Kraft's out there. Victor Hovland's out there. Matthew Wolf. There's 30 tour guys out there. And they obviously see something in each other to play with each other. They had lots of options. So,
yeah.
And then my fifth one was Taylor Montgomery and Griffin at 400. It was one blank on the name. Ben Griffin. Ben Griffin's a great player. Good putter. Good short game. Taylor Montgomery's just a solid all-around player.
Yeah, Taylor Montgomery's a solid player for sure. I don't know much about Ben Griffin. I'm looking him up right now.
He's kind of came out with that Eric Cole group where they're just kind of like grinders.
He played well last week. T14 at Punta Cana, T39 at the Valero, and 36 at the Texas Houston Open, T17 at Valspar. Dude can play, man. T28 Phoenix Open.
I try to find the gems out there.
Yeah. Yep. I want to look at some of his stats. 69th in strokes gained total.
Millie Goats wants to know if Scotty could win this event on his own team. Play one ball, Lance Armstrong style.
What do you have to have his alter ego out there for alternate shot or what?
No, I think they let him play two balls off the tee.
That's scary.
And then he just hits one from there. But
yeah,
he's going to hit two drives within, you know, throw a towel over him. So what's the point? I think if Scotty had a partner, it would just drag him down.
Like it would make him human.
He wouldn't want to be him and Jordan Spieth, and Spieth's 80 yards deep in the trees. And it's like, thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, I haven't been
in the trees since, you know, 2000.
Something like that would throw off Scotty. Like, what? Someone
could ruin his career. Away.
Like, what are you doing?
He'd be like, no wonder you have trouble scoring when you're playing from here. You should try it over here.
Yeah, that's why he don't play with these gimmicky events, man.
I feel like he doesn't even try that hard in the Ryder Cup, like, or the President's Cup. Like, he doesn't like to play on teams.
Scotty and Tiger team up in this event in their prime. Oh my God.
I don't think they even need to be in the prime. I think Tiger hits enough great shots now. Scotty could carry him.
That'd be crazy.
I think that'd be more beneficial for Tiger. Like, all of a sudden he sees Scotty rolling some putts in and he gets the, you know, like gets the mojo, gets the juices.
Gets the juices flowing, baby. Yeah.
It's like, you know, and like if they had a throwback all-star team and, you know, Jordan starts seeing balls go in.
I got it. Let's get Scotty and Tiger. Let's get Scotty and Tiger in the match.
Give Tiger a cart. Get him in there. Just chill.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Charlie are shooting, what, 14 under down at the Ritz-Carlton? Surely him and Scotty could take it deep.
I'm in. Let's do it. I'm in.
That'd be awesome.
I advocate for it. All right. Well, before we get off on a tangent there, we can get into our outrights a little bit here. So I did go with Zalatoris and Thigala because that is – That's the most intriguing pairing, I think, of the weekend.
I liked it
because I think it's really a really cool one. I think that's lightning in a bottle, man. Those two guys.
Zalatoris horse is hitting it really good. Thagala is very underrated putter.
How right have we been about that kid?
Oh,
last 2 years. Jesus.
Ever since the PGA when he almost, you know, won the thing and Eric was all over him, and he's just been a nice steady cash maker since then.
We got Millie Goats over here now talking shit about Spieth.
Hey,
gosh, you guys just gotta leave me alone. I'm gonna go cry in a corner after after this show and every other one moving forward if you guys keep being so mean to me.
Easy, LeBron.
Oh man, so funny. I was making fun of my son. If everybody doesn't know, my son's a huge LeBron fan. I'm sorry I failed at parenting. I was telling my son tonight about how big of a baby he was last night after they lost and everything, and talking about how it's all rigged and like, what are we doing and all this stuff.
And for him to complain about the officiating was the most hypocritical statement I've heard in my entire life. That's like a presidential statement there.
I know. It's wild.
When
I just, holy
you
shit.
Push a guy to get an open 3-pointer and then you miss. That was the most hypocritical statement I've heard professional athlete make.
For one, LeBron, you know, LeBron bitches about every single call, right? But LeBron also gets the benefit of the doubt on most calls. And then he has the audacity to go up and sit in front of reporters and talk shit about the officials.
If he was on the
they're the reason they lost, I'm like, get out of here. You guys blew a 20-point lead. Hey, LeBron, how many 20-point leads did MJ blow in his career?
Zero.
You know why?
He didn't have any.
Because he doesn't.
Oh, chimed out. Smitty had a glitch in his system that cut him off for talking trash on LeBron. That's the system getting to him. Oh, his power went out at his house. Smitty's power went out.
Did he just freeze up? Did he?
He's texted and said his power went out.
Oh no!
That sucks. That's the dark web coming after him for talking trash on LeBron.
That's the Silk Road.
You got to stay off that. But FBI. Yeah, it was pretty hypocritical for LeBron to make a to complain about a call that if it was flipped around and that was say Jokic and he pushes LeBron down on that three, it's going the other direction. No shot.
Nope.
Guaranteed.
I do got to say this though. I don't give a fuck because Jokic had a triple double and that cashed. And that was all I had on that game.
I watched the first half and then I was like, they were still down by close to 20. And I was like, man, I'm going to turn this off because I know when I wake up, the Nuggets are going to win. Woke up, went downstairs to work out, turned on the TV. Nuggets win. I was like, yes.
I did throw real quick live while you guys were going. I threw $100 on the Giants, 1.5 minus 1.5 on the run line at plus 208, and they just scored 3. God, the Mets are awful against the run line. Awful. Anyways, back to golf. Sorry, I suck.
No, you're good. So yeah, I'll get into my
fill up some space.
I'll get on my winners until Smitty can get some power back here. I don't know what the deal is. So for my picks, I also had Zalatoris and Thagala because like Smitty said, it's just one of those intriguing groups that seem like it's going to be a great moneymaker at 7-1. Thagala's great putter. Zalatoris is a great ball striker. My second one was the Fitzpatrick brothers at 2,200. The younger Fitzpatrick brother beat the older Fitzpatrick brother at the Open Championship. He's been killing on the DP Tour. He's a great, great player. My third pick, also at 2,200, was the Horigard brothers, Nicholas and Rasmus. Nikolai's been playing really good this year. And his brother actually is a really, really good player on the DP Tour also. Plus, you know, there's long shots. So try to get game on some ice cream money. And then my fourth. Oh, here he's back. Smitty's back.
That was wild.
Power outage. That's what happens when you talk trash on LeBron. Like, they get to your system.
They can hear us.
Got to get him more secure network. So yeah, I started reading mine off.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had Zalatoris and Thegala at 7-1. I had the Fitzpatrick brothers at 2,200. The Horgard twins at 2,200. Then I had Goddard and Ekrod at 3,500. And then rounded out OKC boys with Tway and Kraft at 20,000.
Whew. 20,000.
That dude. Telling you get two guys that just gel off each other. And Tway's been playing better. He might sneak up on it. I mean, a $5 bet pays you a grand.
That's true.
That's one of the ones, you know, Eric was going crazy last week, but this might be one. He might want to drop a couple bucks on this one.
All right. Well, I can finish mine, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I got yours now, Taurus Thegala.
Yep. So then I went with Hoagie and McNeely. I think that they are going to be a really good group. I really like them a lot. At 2,200, I have Taylor and Hadwin at 22-1 as well. Like, that's, I mean, runner up last year, and they're still two very solid players. And then I have Naismith and Moore at 40-1, plus 4,000 is crazy. And then I also have Billy Ho and Tyson Alexander, and they are sitting at 3,500.
Yeah, Milligan's was coming at Punta Cana.
Ride the hot numbers, you know, and like, I feel like those two guys are playing well enough right now to where
Horschel's been playing well. Kevin Tway really surprised me. I mean, I've been watching. I tend to watch a lot of the Corn Ferry scores every week, just in the alternate scores. Alternate Venice scores, because those are the guys that we find the diamond in the rough that, you know, mm-hmm. wins a TPC Twin Cities or a Barbasol or whatever. So
for sure.
Some of those guys, you know, like Tway, who's been on tour for 15 years, all it takes is 2-3 good rounds. I mean, Lucas Glover, prime example last year, just found something and started clicking wins. Like, they were going out of style.
And we won some money off of him last year.
Yeah.
Big time.
Several times in a row.
I'm trying to see if there's any like end of round one leaders. Like what we were talking about. Man, Hoagie and McNeely, 2,800. That's nice.
Yeah, we need to get away to live feed Eric's Sunday 8 a.m. text about who to bet live bet on, because he's cleaning up on the live bet.
He has been on fire with his Sunday morning, like, live bet round, late, last round leaders and stuff. Oh man.
I think he did he might have said something about JT Poston on the first round leader last week.
He did.
Got him.
Yeah, he did get him. It was like, didn't he say it was like 50-1?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We need to get a hold of JT Poston, because he's made Eric a lot of money. Oh man, Smitty just faded out. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, so Milligoat's bringing up the 15-year-old kid again. Well, Milligoat's came a little bit late to the show, but we were talking about him before and how he's just ridiculous. Like, so posted his stock yardage, 3-wood, 270, yeah. Driver 280. Is that not weird? Adam can speak on that a little bit more.
It's just the gapping, like the three. So my understanding is that the drivers are regulated up by the COR, which is how fast the ball can come off the club face. The three woods are not regulated. So you're seeing more often that the three woods are going similar distance, but some of that could be his carry distance, where his driver's rolling out another 20 yards, where his three woods mm-hmm. only rolling out 5 or 10. But, I bet if you looked at most of the tour players, their three woods and their drivers are really close together carry distance.
Yeah, you do watch a lot. I pay attention to that stuff because I'm really curious about how guys are carrying stuff on certain on certain holes, right? Like, okay, well, what's he going to do right now when he's, you know, he's 300 out, what's he going to do? And, you know, they pop out their three wood and they just, they bust it up there. It's like, okay, well, he just hit a drive on two holes before on a par five and he carried 310.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, these guys, their three woods and their drivers, I feel like are very similar, but like you said, rollout is a little bit different.
I mean, this kid's tiny. I mean, he's small.
As well as how they shape shots, right?
Yeah. And he's a small kid and it could be the launch angle. Like he may just not have enough power to get the launch angle up on his driver. I mean, he clearly doesn't have strength. He's a 15-year-old kid. Like
right.
He looks like a kid. And it could just be the dynamics, or maybe he likes the way his driver feels and he's comfortable with the distance it goes. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're 15 years old and you're hitting a 280, that's probably average for that, you know, elite junior player, but it's not unusual for your three wood to go farther. I mean, especially if he's playing the newer three woods that are so much hotter.
Yeah.
You get the right shaft and it's crazy. I've even noticed how my three wood is maybe a 10 or 15 yard difference between my driver and that now, because the drivers wear out. You know, the three woods just stay hot longer. You can play a three wood 3 or 4 years. If you're an elite, like a top player, like a tour player or elite junior, you could play a three wood 2, 3, 4 years. You're not playing a driver more than a year, year and a half. They just don't last. The faces so thin that they just wear out.
Is it more? I mean, you're hitting your driver more too. Is that like just longevity, the amount of swings on a club?
Probably. Yeah. You're practicing more with your driver. I mean,
yeah.
You go to the range, you're hitting 20, 30 drivers and you're hitting maybe 5 or 6 three woods, and you mm-hmm. hit a three wood in play in a round, maybe 2-3 times where you're hitting your driver 10 or 12.
Yeah. Hey, Millie Goats, we're never going to be mad at you for showing up at any point. Like we don't discriminate on people. We'd love to have everybody here for the entire show, but if you show up a little bit late because you got something going on, we're not going to hold it against you. Just go back and watch the rest of it, I guess. Right.
Yeah. I mean, this kid was top 10 for the first few rounds. I mean, he almost didn't make the cut and then makes 2 eagles and 3 birdies and clearly makes cut by a mile. It was in contention the first round. It's 600 through 8 holes. And then, so
we got amateur golfer questions going on right now. It's like, so if I had a driver for 3 years now, it's toast.
Depends on how much you play.
Right. It's the amount of swings for sure that you're putting on it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing once every 3 months, it'll last you a lifetime. But if you're, like I said, a professional or even a PGA professional or an elite junior where you're playing 3, 4, 5 days a week and hitting range balls 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
the shafts give out, the faces give out. I mean, I don't know how many guys I play with that go through sometimes multiple drivers in a year because the faces just wear out. I've had the same three wood for 3 years. So
I've had the same three wood for a few years now.
But after 3 years, the face will get thin and it'll crack. So yeah, it's not always the best to keep them that long, but when you find one you like.
Yeah.
See a lot of old fairway woods in tour players' bags. You don't see a lot of old drivers.
Mm-hmm. And if guys are more likely to stay up with the technology and the year to years with their drivers. And
yeah, you might see an old model, but it won't be an old driver. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say that where they, like the tour van will keep and the warehouse will keep, you know, 20, 30 heads every year just for the tour players.
That's funny. None of us play it. Well, Adam plays enough. You and I don't play enough, Millie. We don't play enough.
Mm-mm.
I'm hoping to change that now that my kids are starting to play.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
For sure.
Get your wife to play, get your kids to play.
Absolutely.
I was actually at a meeting and they say, so statistically, I guess the statistics at the PGA's run that if your wife plays, if the wife or the mom plays in the family, the retention rate of golf was like 85% or something compared to if just the husband plays.
Wow.
Because if the mom plays, she's going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to go. whole family's going to be there.
Well, hey, shout out to my wife. Okay, this was her idea. Our 10-year anniversary is coming up in June. And remember, I texted you the other day about golf courses in Michigan. And her idea to go on a just start driving to Michigan and driving up, you know, the side of Lake Michigan and stopping at different golf courses and playing some golf courses for our 10-year anniversary. I was like jaw dropped. I'm like, wait, who are you again? I mean, what you want to play golf? But no, my wife loves playing golf. So shout out to her though, for wanting to plan a golf trip for our 10-year anniversary. That's pretty exciting stuff.
If your wife plays, you're going to get to play a lot more.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. You got anything else?
Nah, I think we're good. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, trying to hit something here this weekend. Again, you know, I got to get a top 10 or an outright sometime soon. Yeah. Otherwise, CA, you might have to find somebody new to co-host the show, because I'm shit.
We'll have to change the time, get Eric back in here just to kind of give Smitty a pep talk.
I know, for real. I need some positivity in my life out of Eric. He's just got so much energy.
Yeah.
He's got to take one Tuesday and just come in here. Just host it one time. He hosts it one time, Adam, you'll quit. You'll be like, no,
I've already said there's no, I'm not even close.
There is, but Eric is pretty, he's the man, like opening host, you know, there's not much better.
For sure.
Yeah. He's like,
he'll get a kick out of this when he's listening tomorrow at work.
Yeah. And I would like, I mean, Eric kills it. He's the best thing there is. Yeah. And I hope he comes back. But once Smitty gets out of school and we get into summer, then we can do some different recordings. So that way Eric can be around for it.
Hey, yeah. Game On wants to host one of these nights. We're all for it, man. Come on. We'll take anybody. Anybody that wants to come on the show, we'll take you in whenever.
Yeah. Will would crush it as a host too.
Hell yeah. Let's go. Will knows what he's talking about when it comes to golf, so let's go.
And betting. Yeah. So it's a win-win.
For sure. Let's do it.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening.
Yeah, you guys can follow us, listen on all the formats. You can follow us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, X, whatever, everything. Follow me at AMillerPGA. You can follow Smitty at C Smith with 8 with an F. Until next time, guys, hit it straight and keep it out of the pond.
Cheers.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, keep up with the show on Facebook and Instagram at Plus Money Golf and on Twitter at PSR Golf. Until next time.